America, Kate Delaney. We were talking about armed drones in Libya. The dollar drops while gold soars. Plus, we're going to be checking your mail. Yes, your mail. The box is full once again. That's just part of this hour here on America Tonight. It is Holy Week for so many. Good Friday now upon us, and then, of course, Easter Sunday. I like to say that it's when churches are the most crowded besides Christmas, and any good pastor or priest will make that announcement right at the beginning of the service. Nice to see those familiar faces. How many times have you heard that when you've been in a church somewhere? Nice that all of you are on board to join us for this show, and if you've just tuned in for the first time, we zig and zag all over the place. Absolutely. We're like bank shots when you're playing a little eight ball, little pool. 800-259-5791. That's the number for you to jump in. 800-259-5791. I don't care about your political stripes, right of right, left of left, confused, disappointed, wanting to start your own party. Hey, it works. Check out the Tea Party. You're invited to jump on in and sound off with the rest of us. But before we talk about drones and drones in Libya, drones in Pakistan and the money matters, the dollar dropping through the floor and gold rising. See, remember I thought gold would be up to possibly 2,000 by June, and boy, that prediction is looking not bad. I can remember being on the air somewhere doing financial stuff and talking about the commodities, and at the time, gold was somewhere in the neighborhood of five and change, and it really did look like it was going to continue to climb, and sure enough, it has climbed in the last year and a half, really 2 years. It's not about gold, it's not about money, it's about saving lives and homes. It is so bad in the great state of Texas. I think all of you can relate to this if you've ever been through a drought, whether it's in Florida somewhere or if it's in California, if it's somewhere in the piney woods in New Jersey. You know what happens when you have dry, dry conditions. In fact, this is radio, so take a listen. This is the wildfires in Texas just burning like nobody's business. This is what it sounds like. Yeah, that crackly sound and then the winds and, of course, the water from the fire hoses. So many states chipping in to help Texas. In fact, 33 other states, firefighters coming because it's that bad. So far, 1.5 million acres have been destroyed. The Texas governor is so desperate for a way to wrap his arms around this because everybody keeps asking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, what is he going to do? It's Mother Nature taking off with the dry conditions, the fires that are popping up all over the place. And what the Texas governor said as he is being pounded for responses, he talks about the fire crews and how brave they are and what's being done and that kind of stuff. He finally says, look, pray for rain. Cooler temperatures. That's what we need. And there were some cooler temperatures on Thursday, so that was good. But it's still not enough. And here we are, as the Texas governor said, with our backs against the wall. And we gotta do some praying to end this ongoing drought and these devastating fires. You have 1,800 guys and some of them women in gear, firefighters and crews trying to make any kind of headway they can. And I've had the chance to be out with some of these crews, not currently, but in the past in Texas and in California, actually, and even in Florida. And I'll tell you what, it is just unbelievable what they have to go through with the amount of equipment that they are hauling and how they're trying to build rings around fires and do different things and water drop from above and all that sort of stuff, doing anything and everything they can think of and then paying attention to the winds. And they're dog tired. I mean, dog tired. And sometimes these guys will work round the clock to try to save more homes. At this point, you've had two dead volunteer firemen. That's awful. You've got at least 200 for sure. 500 plus homes had to be evacuated, and the number kind of varies as to how many were ripped apart by the fire. But let's say officially 200 plus. A true nightmare. I read an interesting story, and picture yourself in this situation where you have to make a decision. This is your house, and of course you have to let go of things. It's not about things, it's about people, but it's tough to do when you're thinking, what do we do? And some of these people who have saved their whole lives, and they're not living in palatial estates, not all of them, where it's like an old scene from the movie Dallas. I mean, they've put everything into their homes, and they might be fortunate enough to have some kind of a boat, not a yacht, but some kind of a boat. So they're making decisions like, gee, do we stay till the last second and hope that the fire misses us? So we want to see what happens because we have no idea and who knows when we'll get back here. Do we do that? And if we really get stuck and we can't get out because of how the fire is headed in these roads, all in around these roads, and it's too late, do we jump on the boat and just get off on the boat? And if the boat doesn't start, do we just jump in the water because that's the last thing we can do? What a thing to try to decide. I mean, first of all, you just have to let go. You have to get in the car and drive away, but tough to do that. And then if you wait too long, you're trapped because you don't know what roads are open. And things are falling on the roads. They're on fire. So then you do only have that option of staying close to the water. Mm. And if they are staying where they are, of course, the key thing will be communication, but luckily we all carry these bad boys called iPhones or Androids or, you know, whatever. When was the last time you saw somebody with an archaic old phone, one that was just a flip phone? That's archaic now. That's like mummified. So you have some form of communication. Hopefully it's been plugged in and charged, but, you know, it's really crazy. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment to moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to americatonightteam.com. That's americatonightteam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money-back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Trouble when it's coming to putting out this wildfire in Texas, and I think so many of you can relate. Jack in Australia just sharing his story with us. Just a, who knows, a few revelations of the tire away from, or revolutions of the tire away from meeting the maker with children in the car. And that's what I said with the man in the hose. He really thought, I'm going to save this house. I don't care. I'm going to save it. And it was very risky what I saw. And Jack gave you his own example of it, because you don't realize how quickly it can turn, that fire can turn. I was worried when we were with a live truck in the middle of it, as I said, in Santa Fe, because it was getting very warm all around us. So the idea was, well, of course, we have to have the fire behind you when you're talking in a live shot. Wouldn't be so great if that fire just was fueled and made a run right for us, and we were pretty, pretty close to that fire line. And we, you know, I don't know much about fires other than a few things that I was taught. My father was a volunteer fireman my whole life, so of course we had to have fire drills from the time we were 2 years old. We knew how to get out of a house, or when we go to hotels, that's the first thing we always look for. I think my brother and I had that drummed into our head so much that we do. We look for the exits. It's a good thing to do, by the way, especially if you're higher up, because you just don't think about that kind of stuff. You don't think that's going to happen, I guess, and then you have no way to get out. So the governor, as I said, was telling people to pray for rain. Pray for rain, whatever you can. And, you know, he was heavily criticized for that. A lot of people said that he was violating all kinds of rules by telling people that they should pray, and it's for religious reasons, you know, to look to God to help in the fire. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He's saying, say a prayer for the people affected, and our thoughts are with you. And now they're criticizing the governor for his gesture. I mean, how ridiculous is that? There were even people who said, oh, church and state, you can't do that. And that's ridiculous. Does God give people preferential treatment if they pray and then maybe their house won't burn down? It's crazy. He did, as I said, he didn't know what else to say, so he kept saying when he's been asked about it, what do you want me to tell you? We've got, you know, we have an emergency fund. We're getting everybody else out that we can. We're trying to put the fire out, but you should just pray for rain. Crazy. All right, let's go to Bobby in Texas. Hey, Bobby. Hey, Bobby, how are you?
I'm good.
What's on your mind?
Maybe we can surround the fires, the 24-hour, you know, since we can't make it rain, we can make it rain. You know what I'm saying?
We can make it rain?
What? Make it rain.
Okay.
24-hour air power.
Yeah. 24-hour air powers just around it.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, I'll tell you, here's my suggestion. Thanks for yours. Here's my suggestion. You take care. Here's my suggestion. I think that they try to pull in as much as they can from the air. That seems to work the best. It seems when you're trying to put out something where, especially you're talking about treetops going down, you see the flames going up, and in talking to firemen who've been involved in this, there's certain lines they're creating on the ground, as you know, fire lines, and in the air, if they can dump more from the top end, that also can work. It's not going to completely trash the fire, I mean end the fire, but you have a better chance coming down because you have more gallons dropping on it, and then the hoses, because how much can the hoses do? That's why they have the amount of firefighters, almost 2,000 firefighters. So, you know, think about it. All right, I'm going to throw out the number again. Promise if you call in, I will get to you. I know there's some people hanging, 800-259-5791. But let me say here at the top, I mentioned this, Libya and what's going on with the latest there. You know, we're giving aid, $24 million in aid that's supposed to be non-lethal. So food and tents and all that kind of stuff. So now it turns out also we're going to supply some drone action, not just to Libya, but also to Pakistan. But first, with Libya, the president okayed the use of two of those Predator drones, even though there's no, remember, official war in that country. I mean, this is the problem we keep stepping into. Drones are warplanes, right? That's what the idea is, to take people out. And he signed off on this and using them. Because how long have we now been going through this Libyan conflict? I mean, for weeks at this point. Robert Gates, the defense secretary, just made it official, saying, yes, that's what's happening, that we have some unique capabilities and we're going to use them, and we think this could help. So he's signing off on it. The U.S. military tried to launch them Thursday, but there was bad weather, so they had to come back. They're already using the drones to hit up the terrorists, along the Pakistani border with Afghanistan, and drones are supposedly precise instruments, but there's been problems with the drones hitting some civilians. And also, someone's trying to interrupt the show, but we've had some, it's drone action. But the drones are supposed to be precise. Unfortunately, there have been some catastrophic incidents, including two Americans being killed by the drones recently, and they're still looking into the particulars of that, but also some civilians that were hit with the drones that were looking for, or that were on missions to take out terrorists. So this is kind of risky, I think, for the president. Not kind of, I think it's very risky, because how many people, raise your hand if you think we don't need to be in the middle of this whole Libyan deal, and now the president is jumping in, adding drones. So in the middle of trying to get reelected, talking about sending drones in, we're not taking a back seat here. We keep saying we're taking a back seat, that we're not the leaders on this, that the United States has handed it over to NATO. Baloney. We're front and center in this. Otherwise, that wouldn't have happened. So Gates is just trying to fend off the questions. The defense secretary, he's saying that drones just provide more evidence that the mission is expanding beyond the original goals. But that's it. Yeah, right. Okay, first we're just going to kind of be there in the background, help a little bit. Now we've got Tomcat missiles. We threw those in. Oh, yeah, there's now we're doing this drone thing, and we've given some non-lethal money to the rebels. What's next? you know, the suggestion that boots on the ground aren't too far back, I think you have to be concerned about that. So the predator is going to, what, get low and ID certain areas? Because that's what a predator drone can do, that it'll give the international forces, as they're calling them, in some of the crowded areas, will give them a better idea of who the enemy is and who are the friendlies in those crowded marketplaces. How are you picking those people out? This could be a setup for disaster anyway. So we are hardly done with Libya, not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. And do you think it's time to say, look, game over, we're out of here? Because what happens next? Who wants our help next? Where are we going after Libya? What about Syria? Not even paying attention to Syria, and they're having all kinds of problems in Syria. But yet, we're not paying attention to what's happening there. Just saying a few things through the State Department, like, you know, we're keeping an eye on what's going on there, and we're listening to some advice from our NATO counterparts. Baloney. I mean, we're right in the thick of everything in the Middle East. What did Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, have to say about Libya? We got it on the flip side.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Concerned about nuclear contamination? You're not alone. If you understand the risk of today's food being contaminated from nuclear fallout, you would not only trust Wild Food for survival, you'd count on it. Wild Food is the most prolific, fastest-growing food available. It's fresh because it doesn't sit in the field for 8 to 10 weeks being fertilized or sprayed with pesticides, accumulating radiation. And Wild Food is not genetically altered. Ounce for ounce, Wild Food has more nutrition and less harmful elements than any animal or commercial agriculturally grown food. It can detoxify the body. And the best part? Wild Food is free for the taking. Let author Linda Runyon show you how to identify, harvest, prepare, eat, and store wild food. Go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. That's 888-513-2837. Or visit ofthefield.com for your survival.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Jumped on. My name's Kate Delaney. This is America Tonight. We're talking about a couple of different things, including Libya, which I think we have no business being there, but too late. Now we're in the stew, and now we say we're not involved, but we've spent millions in all kinds of aid, whether it's through missiles. Now we're using the Predator drones, so who's paying for that? And we've given money in non-lethal aid. Meanwhile, are the rebels gaining ground or not? The word heading into Friday was that Muammar Gaddafi's troops were in the middle of a battle with the rebels, which we've seen scenes from that. This is radio, but just picture, if you will, people running like mad through the streets, trying to get in and out of some abandoned buildings. That's what Misrata looks like. And there's snipers in the tall buildings. It's urban warfare, rather. That's pretty much what you're seeing in Libya, in certain areas like Misrata. So the Libyan government is ramping up what they have to say about NATO, just constantly pumping out that it'll be hell if they send in ground troops. You send people in here, we're going to blow them up, is what they're saying. And nobody wanted to take out Muammar Gaddafi. Okay. So the U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who we were talking about, and President Obama have approved the use of the Predator drones in Libya. They're saying it's for precision attacks so that you know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are, because we can't protect the civilians if we don't know that. Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, had this to say about Libya.
We also call for the immediate release of Americans who are being unjustly detained by Libyan authorities, including at least two reporters.
Wow. Boy, covering war now, we're seeing what's happened, the toll that it's taken on journalists with the loss of two the other day, photojournalists, and how awful that was in that city in Misrata. They know the risk, but we saw what happened with the New York Times folks and the fact that they were being held hostage. And then one of the females that was there, she was assaulted. And, you know, we saw also what happened to Lara Logan, the CBS 60 Minutes reporter. Of course, we're talking about Egypt was where she was attacked. But what's happened now in the Middle East has also suddenly raised the awareness of in these mob situations or in the battling between the rebels and current dictators, what happens in an effort to record it. It used to be that reporters could certainly be killed or be hit, but definitely weren't intentionally targets. That was unusual. You did have Daniel Pearl and some other, which was horrible, 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 horrible thing that happened with Daniel Pearl, and you wind the clock back to Iraq and the fact that here he was with the Wall Street Journal, and he was beheaded, he was tricked into going somewhere. And yes, things like that have happened. So covering war is I think worse than it's ever been from the first-hand point of view for anyone in the media who jumps into the middle of that. Coming up, we've got a dungeon moment for you, but first let's go to Brian in Missouri. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Kate, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How about you?
They're actually wanting water down in Texas. We've got plenty of it up here. I'll be more than happy to send a couple thousand gallons down there.
Yeah, isn't that awful? So you're dealing with the opposite, flooding, and then in Texas it's just completely like Tinderland.
Yeah, they're even starting to close down roads because water is starting to go over them, although I did hear today one road that they closed down yesterday that is going to reopen today because the Army Corps of Engineers at Lock and Dam 19 had slowed the output of water from that lock and dam down to try to relieve the pressure down in that one stretch of roadway for them a little bit. But I don't know how long that's going to last since that's kind of about the midway point.
Wow. Oh, it's tough to deal. You know, it's just as tough to deal with that with the roadways and having to commute and stuff. That's awful.
And they're also saying that this is going to be a worse flood down here than what we was dealing with back in 93.
What? Boy, and that was terrible. I remember that. I remember seeing scenes from that, yeah. Were you there? Were you, Brian, you were in Missouri, right, in 93 when all that was going on?
I believe that was the summer I was in about the third grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that all well, and it was not pretty. I'm not sure if this made national coverage or not, but up in the vicinity that I'm at, we had to prosecute one person that was working on a levee because he sabotaged the levee.
Oh, no, we didn't hear that. That's not good. How did they catch him, do you know?
He was the only one that was working on the levee that was willing to give a news interview right after it broke.
So it's like he wanted his 15 minutes of fame and he put himself right in the crosshairs. What a dummy.
Because it's literally the tape from the TV station he gave the interview to that was basically the prosecution's case. And I also remember the TV station also said the reporter got an award for the journalism that was in on that one.
Really? Oh, there's something more that meets the eye to that story, I would say. Yeah. You stay dry, Brian, there. I hope that the floods, I hope that the rain subsides and the flooding isn't as bad as they're predicting. And thank you for calling. Have a great weekend. All right, time for a dungeon moment. If you've been paying attention, this is a nasty divorce, and I'm talking about the man who owns the Dodgers for now, but not for very long, not really. The Dodger owner is a guy named Frank McCourt. He's in the middle of a messy, crazy divorce with his wife. It's been, of course, displayed all over the place. But what's happened now is Bud Selig decided to have Major League Baseball assume control of the team. And Selig's move, I think, was a shock for some people. Especially they're in the middle of doing a deal with Fox and they're trying to figure out what's happening. The television deal that they're in the middle of is maybe 20 years, $3 billion. That would certainly mean that the team was solvent. And McCourt, who owns the team, is the guy who supposedly presented the deal to Major League Baseball back in early April as a solution to the financial problems. and saying, look, we have money in the bank. If I have a $3 billion deal, don't worry about it. And why can't we talk about this? But apparently Bud Selig wanted none of it. And because the McCourt's divorce has become so public, suddenly baseball's decided public and nasty, they've decided that they're gonna take over. And this has left people just stunned by what they're hearing. His wife, by the way, her name is Jamie, she's the team's former chief executive officer, and the messy divorce between the two of them has really put the people who are longtime Dodger fans in a weird spot, because the concern is what now happens to this team. And for that reason, I have to say that the McCourts, for airing their dirty laundry, and Frank McCourt, shame on you, especially for not realizing what he was getting into with the Los Angeles Dodgers by not really having enough backing in the first place. You know, all of us could be a couple of deals away from however many millions or whatever, and that's what he kept selling to people. I'm not a big fan of Bud Light, Bud Selig's, but still at the same time, I don't blame him for being a little bit worried about the McCourt situation. So I think Frank McCourt and his crazy wife, Jamie, they need a timeout. They need to be escorted into our dungeon. Do the honors, Donovan.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
You gotta love that laugh. Here's what Tony Jackson had to say about the Dodgers and looking for money.
Major League Baseball is not going to like what they find once they get into those books, so I don't see this continuing. You know, it is an option down the road for the commissioner to use his authority to say that it's better that Frank McCourt not continue as owner of the Dodgers. So I don't think there's any doubt that that's eventually coming. It's just a matter of who's lined up to buy the team when that happens.
Yeah, so who is going to buy the team? There are a few people that want baseball teams. One of them is Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks. Right now, his team is in the playoffs with Portland. They have a 2-0 edge in that first-round playoff series. And he's made no secret that of wanting a baseball team. He really wanted the Cubs, but I heard he might be interested in the Dodgers, but they're far from that point right now. I love what the Dodgers manager, Don Mattingly, said. He said, you know what? It's business as usual. We're just doing what we do. We're playing baseball. Let everybody else sort it out.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural, built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust-mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Of gas has everybody tearing their hair out, but topping we can count is the story that broke about a married couple that might have been killed over just $5 in gas money, and it was their son who is accused of doing that. 20-year-old Dennis Markoff charged with two counts of first-degree intentional homicide in the shooting deaths of his two parents. He told the police he had asked his father for $5 for gas at about 6 o'clock this past Sunday. His father said no. They got into an argument. He lived with his parents and he went to his upstairs bedroom, got a 22 caliber rifle he bought the month before, went downstairs, shot his dad in the back of the head. With the second shot, his father fell to the ground, went upstairs to get some towels. Because why? The blood was spreading all over the place. So he went and got the towels, and he picked up the rifle, shot him one more time. He dragged his, these details are brutal, dragged his body through the kitchen and took money out of his pocket. Then he went after his mother, who had gone out to run errands. She came home, and when the garage door went up, he waited in the laundry room, shot her in the back of the head, wrapped her in the towels, all that other kind of stuff. Took money out of the parents' room, and for the next couple of days, he didn't show up for work. The people that employed him, his office, got worried. They called police, and when the police went, they obviously found out what happened. When the cops opened the garage door, they saw the blanket on the ground and what they thought was a human protruding, and sure enough, it was. This happened, by the way, in Missouri, and just over, you know, there's more than meets the eye to that story, but it starts with the gas money. The gas money was the thing that started the argument, but wow, what a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And here it is with a son and parents. Whew. All right, let's move in a different direction here for We Can Count, and it has to do with an earthquake. Boy, in Japan, they don't want anything to do with earthquakes after the quake and the tsunami and then what's been happening with Fukushima, the nuclear power plant. But out of Tokyo, they're saying a 6.1 magnitude earthquake has rattled that city, shaking buildings kind of all over the place. And there's been a string of aftershocks, and this is aftershocks probably since March, since the 9.0 quake that hit on the 11th and then the tsunami. That's a lot of aftershocks. I wonder if that's unusual. You know you usually have them right away, but to have them this much after the fact, because we're more than a month after the after the quake and the tsunami and stuff, but I wouldn't have guessed that at all. Not at all. Okay, let's move on. We can count. We think. We try to count. That's why we like this. That's why we like this segment. Let's move to the world of politics, because I always say follow the money, and certainly follow the numbers anyway. Michigan lawmakers are saying to the folks across the border in Canada, you can take your trash and you know what you can do with it. They're working on a bill aimed at deterring Canada from filling up the landfills in Michigan with pizza boxes and Labatt Blue bottles and that kind of stuff. They're concerned that, unfortunately, they're becoming a dumping ground. And we're talking about the crossing area, the border, from Ontario. Because what happens is Michigan has a bargain, you know, pretty much they have bargain rate landfills. So they're trekking in trash and dumping it in Michigan. Canadian truck drivers pay, here's your number, $5 at the border to bring that trash in. They're not screened. They don't even screen the trash. That's nice. So if this law goes through, Stop Canadian Trash Act is what it's being called, it would raise the border fee to $500. The money would go toward inspections by the Border Patrol. Drivers would have to give customs details of their shipments or they get a $10,000 fine. Trust me, $5 to $500 right there, people are going to, from Canada, it's not going to be worth it for them anymore to take the trash and dump it in Michigan. Is that the craziest thing? I had no idea about that story until I happened to stumble across it the other day. It's like, what? I would be upset too. Are you kidding me? Take your trash and dump it someplace else. We don't want your trash. Hey, speaking of trash, happy Earth Day. Did you realize it was Earth Day? Yeah, right in the middle of We Can Count. How many Earth Days have there been? Does anybody know? Oh, there have been quite a few. Quite a few. Have you ever ridden on a ferry and you feel probably pretty safe until you start to hear about these ferry crashes? Well, a boat carrying about 100 people sunk after it hit a cargo ship. This happened in Bangladesh. How are they not, and dozens of people, sadly, were killed in this. How are you not seeing that? I'm just saying, when you're the captain of the ferry, how are you not, how is that cargo ship not big enough? It seems a little odd. I'm just saying. All right, so we move now to the matters of small business and a tax hike, something that is very near and dear to my heart, and many of you the same thing because you work for small companies. The president is on a little tour, kind of a town hall thing. He was at Facebook on Wednesday and talked about deficit reduction and what happens next. Also, he talked about the plan for tackling specifically the debt crisis, calling for that $4 trillion in deficits. He's mentioned that before. But one of the things that he specifically said in his address and what he said before at George Washington University is the average income of the top 1% of earners, we've seen a change in that by an increase of $250,000. So why shouldn't the top 1%, why shouldn't they see their tax rates go up to 39.6% from the current rate of 35%? He certainly has said that before, so that's not necessarily new news, just, I guess, pushing it again on tax day and saying this is what I think we need to do, and he's not backing off of that. And speaking of taxes, North Carolina, where they had so many of the tornadoes, over 21 people killed. So they're getting a break, and that's not a surprise from the IRS. After all, are you going to be worried about filling out taxes when you're trying to pick up the pieces of your life? And they're saying that on the federal tax level, that the individual people who live in a couple of a bunch of counties, Birdie and Cumberland and Halifax and Johnson and Wilson, they would qualify for what they're calling special tax treatment and then get also some federal relief. So they have until June 30th now to file individual returns and pay taxes that were due on Monday, April 18th. Boy, I bet those people that were hit the hardest would gladly pay those taxes versus what they've gone through. And here's some food for thought. You know, we're talking about the wildfires in Texas and how you lose everything. Well, it's the same thing with a tornado. So picture your important paper sitting on your desk. That's what are you, you know, you're not thinking about that. You're just trying to survive. Then when the dust settles, you have to recreate all of that. And I bet you, dollars to donuts, most of you do not somewhere have all of your account numbers, all of your bills when they're due, all that kind of stuff that would be there at your fingertips, plus the number for your insurance agent, the things that you'd have to do right away in a case of a fire, in case of flooding. We were talking about flooding in Missouri. Or in the case of these tornadoes that they saw in North Carolina and 13 other states. Food for thought. You might want to have a safe place, put that in a safe somewhere so that you've got that if some disaster should strike.